Welcome to ClotCast, the North American Thrombosis Forum's podcast series. This podcast encourages open and ongoing dialogue between healthcare providers and patients by teaching proven communication techniques and empowering patients to be active participants in their care. Welcome to the North American Thrombosis Forum podcast on the empowered patient, how to be an active participant in your care. I'm Dr. Neil Skolnick, professor of family and community medicine at the Sidney Kimmel Medical College of Thomas Jefferson University. What we're going to talk about today is unanticipated barriers to care and what to do when you're concerned about when you might not be getting the best care, which occasionally occurs for all of us. And joining us today to talk about first her experience with that is Aisha Adams. Aisha Adams is the founder and head of the Aisha Adams Media Group in Mills River, North Carolina, and she will tell us a bit about her experience and discussing and analyzing her experience and drawing some lessons for all of us from that experience will be Dr. Benjamin Silverberg, who is an associate professor of medicine and the medical director of the PA program at West Virginia University. Welcome, Aisha.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Ben, welcome to you as well.
Thanks so much for having me.
Aisha, can you tell us a bit about the diagnosis, the beginning of your journey?
It was really hard for me to get a diagnosis. My leg was hurting. I had gone to Pilates and I hurt my leg and it was just hurting. And then I looked up, I hadn't been walking for like 3 days because I was in the middle of launching the Lenore Ryan Equity and Diversity Institute. So everything was just really crazy. And we were all just kind of scrambling, trying to get our work done. And I just hadn't noticed that it was so bad. It really didn't hit me until I was walking across the stage to get an award for Best in Business. And I couldn't walk and carry the trophy at the same time. It was just too much for me. I was like, I need to go to the doctor. So I went to urgent care. And actually, when I explained to them what was wrong with me, they gave me a cortisone shot and sent me home. So my leg just still hurt. I went to my gynecologist for like my regular scheduled appointment. And she had said, you know, there was a risk to being on birth control pills. And she had my leg checked out. And that's when I knew that I had blood clots. She didn't tell me how many. In fact, she said, you know, I don't work below here, so you need to go to your primary care physician for help. So I ended up making an appointment with my primary care physician and then began to understand I had 3 blood clots in my lower leg, and that was what was causing all the pain.
So it really took a little while for them to figure out your diagnosis. Ben, any thoughts you have as you analyze Aisha's story?
Sure. Firstly, I'm really sorry to hear about this experience. Part of my job in urgent care and my clinical work is to figure out life threats in addition to make the diagnosis, try to get someone feeling better. I like to say people don't come to see me because they want to see me. They need to see me. So let me make that experience a little bit better. But what I'm really happy to hear about in your experience, Aisha, is that you trusted what I call your spidey sense. You knew that something was wrong. And even after seeing a medical provider the first time, he said, you know, that didn't fix it. And there's still something I can't put my finger on, but I need medical help. So you were able to seek that. And I'm really, really glad for that. I will point out that one of the things they tell us in our medical training is if you listen long enough, the patient will tell you their diagnosis. And granted, I know what happened to you. So it's hard for me to pretend like I was in that urgent care provider's shoes. But just listening, that should have been one of the first thoughts. So I have to wonder if there was something that was missed with that provider not taking the time to actually listen to you, not developing the rapport, not seeing what it is that is making you worried. And that's disappointing for me to hear.
You're listening to ClotCast, the North American Thrombosis Forum's podcast series. Now let's get back to the conversation. Ben, what are your suggestions when a patient like Aisha did comes away from an interaction feeling like, I'm just not sure I got the care I needed? Aisha, obviously, you weren't comfortable. You then went and saw your gynecologist. What should patients do?
Well, I don't think there's any single answer, unfortunately. It really depends on the scenario and the type of care that was received and the problem that's going on. But at least with that initial provider, they needed to figure out what was the impact on her life. What is her fear? What is she worried about but not even saying? Did she think, for instance, this was going to be a cancer? And how can we address that concern? So trying to figure out what the patient is actually seeing you for, separate from the symptoms. But seeking that second opinion as she did is really, really important. We don't always click with our clinical encounters. Sometimes we have an off day. Sometimes we miss something. I say it's like finding the right pair of shoes. Something can look really, really great on the shelf and you try them on and it's just the wrong fit. And if in that particular scenario, and I see this all the time with urgent care, I have to develop rapport fresh every single time I see a patient. Yes, sometimes I get a little bit of continuity of care, but I have to figure this out every time and see, is this someone who wants more information or is this someone who just wants me to give them an answer and kind of work through that?
That's a great point. Aisha, was there something that clued you in to make you decide to look a little further?
Well, I mean, just being honest, as a Black woman, we look at all the data, we read all the studies, that I know that there is a good chance that when I go to the doctor the first time, I'm not going to get the quality care that I deserve, that I pay for, and that I need. So because I'm educated in health equity and I understand that this is my, you know, burden to carry as a Black woman in the United States, I am a little bit more vigilant. It's a running joke in my house that I think I'm smarter than the doctors.
You know, it's interesting. And clearly, this time, certainly you were smarter than the doctor you saw. And I love the word you used, vigilance. And Ben, I love the term you use, that spidey sense. For those of our audience who didn't grow up reading Spider-Man comic books, spidey sense is when Spider-Man sensed there was something wrong, there was danger around the corner, but he couldn't put his finger on it, he couldn't see it, but he knew it was there. And when you have that sense that something isn't right, listen to yourself. And Aisha, the term you used, vigilance, always be aware that often things do go correctly, but sometimes you don't. And that high level of vigilance combined with listening to yourself should lead us to question our clinicians, seek care, additional opinions elsewhere if things don't seem to fit. Hey, let's face it, most of the time, thank God, it fits. But often enough, it doesn't. And when it isn't fitting, I think we're often burdened by a lack of confidence in ourselves to ask that question again. And we should be confident enough to ask those questions. Aisha, so you were diagnosed with 3 clots in your leg. Let's go on now to the treatment part of your story.
Okay, so blood clots are a silent killer, is what they say. And so it really was very much like me not understanding. And my husband lost his mom to blood clots. So you would think when he saw me, he'd be like, "That's my mama leg was hurting. We got to get you to the emergency room." But it did not register in his mind that that's what it was either. So for me, when it came to patient care, I didn't feel like I really wanted a pamphlet. Like, this is a blood clot. This is what you do. This is how you not get it again. This is how you take care of yourself. And that wasn't readily available. So that was really scary for me because I'm a reader and a thinker and I want to understand what's going on. So it really sent me down like a Google search. And I had to wear compression. I had to keep my leg elevated. I had to kind of be still and let the shots kind of do their thing. And then I had to switch over to the pills and be vigilant about taking my medicine and making sure that I was doing what I was supposed to do in regards to that, as well as kind of sort of self-teach myself like the symptoms. One of the big things that I learned was if you have a blood clot, like sometimes you need physical therapy. So I'm thinking, okay, I had 3, so I definitely need physical therapy. And I actually just finished my physical therapy about 2 weeks ago.
You're listening to ClotCast, the North American Thrombosis Forum's podcast on the empowered patient, how to be an active participant in your care. For more information on thrombosis and related conditions, please visit thrombosis.org.
Ben, let me ask you to analyze the treatment part of the story and lessons that we can all learn from it.
So firstly, to touch on race and other factors, it's unfortunately really well documented and reported that minority populations receive substandard care compared to their racial and gender majority counterparts. This reflects poor treatment of pain, for example, in the emergency department, as well as less time spent actually with the patient listening to their story and developing a treatment plan. Now, some of this is perceived maybe as cultural barriers or generation gaps, language barriers. Time itself is a barrier, but there's really no excuse that one patient of a particular demographic should be receiving lesser care. So just to address that. But at least when it comes to the information seeking part, so trying to figure out treatment, what are the next steps? The challenge is figuring out what is just enough information to be able to understand the diagnosis and what those next steps are, the treatment, the procedure that may be involved or procedures, the risks of both doing something and the risks of not doing anything. So trying to figure out with the patient what information they need to know to be an informed participant in their care. And one thing I wanted to share also with even the title of this podcast, The Empowered Patient, some people take issue with the word empowerment. It sounds like you are now granting someone the right to question and to be engaged, and it reflects a power structure. And maybe we should actually be saying this is patient participation or engagement, and how can we really engage our patient to be an active participant and an equal partner? Because as much as we discuss a plan, they have to live with whatever that plan ends up being. So just wanted to put that out there. Insofar as information seeking on one's own, remember that those third-party websites are out to scare you. They do not want to be sued by missing a diagnosis. But as much as we all kind of grumble, well, publicly about Dr. Google, I think it is an important starting place for some people because that's more accessible where someone hopefully is not going to feel judged by looking up these questions. And I would encourage my patients to take note of what they find there and then talk about it with a licensed clinician. If this is something that has now risen to your head is saying, do I need physical therapy, for example? In that clinician's experience, how helpful is physical therapy? How necessary is it? So starting to run all of those things past a real person.
I think that's a great point, Ben, because it impresses me that, Aisha, as you did, any interested patient can find out a lot of information very quickly on Google. You can go to legitimate websites, but it's hard to integrate the information in a way that's usable because it can be a little bit overwhelming and often pretty scary. So really, ideally, we get that information and all of us learn in different ways. Some of us learn, Aisha, you mentioned a pamphlet. Some of us learn great with a pamphlet. Some of us learn great looking up a YouTube video. My son changed the transmission on his car following a YouTube video. There's so much out there. We all learn differently to find the way that we learn best, but not to leave it there. Then to ask the clinician, the physician assistant, the physician, the nurse practitioner, whoever it is that we're going to for care, for their input, because they can integrate that with a lot of different patient experience. Aisha, then we talked about diagnosis. We talked about the treatment. How about post-care after that treatment was done? Any issues come up there?
No, I haven't had very many issues come up. I'm just focusing on my mobility. I'm hiking 3 days a week. I'm making sure that I eat right. I've lost 17 pounds since the blood clot. Just want to really make sure that I'm moving in the right direction and taking care of myself. And I guess the biggest part for me was the surgeon who found the blood clots really taught me the importance of having a doctor that you can have a conversation with and like you can feel heard. So for me, I feel good and I know where she works. So I'm always thinking if something happens, I'll still call her.
Fantastic. Ben, your thoughts on that area?
I'm so glad that you have a provider that's looking out for you that you gel really well with. I think this highlights the need for folks to have continuity of care. I say this also as a family medicine physician, but someone who works in urgent care, it is really wonderful when someone has, call it a ringmaster, someone who is getting all of those clinical notes and putting them into kind of one file, for lack of a better word, where they're seeing all these other specialist opinions or all these other clinical encounters and starting to see what is an underlying pattern, making sure information is getting communicated properly between different clinicians, patients potentially being bounced around between providers. So for instance, if you had instead been sent over to the emergency department, then the emergency department said, hey, we're not equipped to deal with this, and they sent you somewhere else. It also points out that there's variability of practice, and everyone should be working towards their area of expertise, but medicine has gray areas. So if for whatever reason, the facility that you sought care at was not able to properly evaluate what's going on, what are the next steps there? looking towards the future, it's important to see what kind of communication style works for you. So does that mean, for instance, in your post-diagnosis care, do you need more frequent appointments? Do you just want to be able to access your medical team through asynchronous messaging, through the electronic medical record? Is there some way that works best for you? So figuring out what your own style is and how that melds well with your clinician team.
You're listening to ClotCast. Visit us at www.thrombosis.org for more information on blood clots and related conditions. To leave feedback or suggestions for future topics, please call our podcast hotline at 617-340-9842. Aisha, any last thoughts that you have before we close?
No, I just want people, all people, to just remember we're really lucky to have doctors, and we might have some equity issues. We might have some bumps in the road with insurance and healthcare, but we are better for going through it together, for struggling through it together, and for healing each other. So, you know, I'm really grateful for the work that you all do to make sure that patients are informed. And I just want to be an example to other people to just take good care of themselves.
Well, Aisha, you really are. And it takes a lot to tell your story on a podcast that lots of people are going to hear. So I thank you for doing so. It takes a lot of courage. And I know that a lot of people will benefit from hearing what you've gone through. Ben, any summary thoughts for our listeners from your point of view?
I echo your feedback there as well. It is awful that you had to go through a health event and to not get the diagnosis immediately and not have a great experience with it. But I'm so glad that you're able to teach from that experience, because that is going to empower healers as well as other patients. Now, there's a couple themes that I've kind of noted in today's conversation, and I just wanted to echo them. Firstly, the patient needs to listen to their own body. And though we sometimes hate, you know, I know what my body is, I know that this is a fever for me, or I know that whatever. But when someone comes to me and looks me in the eye and says, something is wrong and I don't know what, I listen to that. And I really hope that my clinician colleagues do that as well. So firstly, we as patients, all of us need to be listening to our own bodies. And kind of coupled onto that, the medical team needs to be listening to the patient. As I say, the patient will tell you the diagnosis if you listen long enough. You'll help to put all those little pieces together to make sense of this. How do we do that? We have a facilitating environment. So a place where there is no hierarchy, where you are able to ask questions and to make wrong guesses, as it were. If someone is coming in thinking with the leg swelling, oh gosh, maybe it's my, I don't know, maybe it's a symptom of a heart attack. Okay, well, let's address that, because that's something that is worrying you, but let's actually get to where we go from here. And then how do we have that facilitating environment? We have mutual respect. So again, I really try to break down the hierarchy and make sure that my patients feel comfortable asking questions, that I can feel comfortable telling them what I would do in that scenario, how I would treat my own family members. So that's what it ultimately comes down to, is not that we're empowering one another per se, it's that we're actively engaging one another in a way to improve medical care and medical treatment.
Ben, those words are filled with such wisdom. I would have thought, had I not seen you in front of me, that I was listening to someone who's 80 years old, but you're not. I'm reminded of a Washington Post op-ed written by George Shultz, the former Secretary of State, when he was 100 years old this past March. And what he said in it was the most important thing in any interaction, whether it was international politics or at home with family, was trust. And really what you're talking about are such wonderful ideas about establishing trust, respect for each other. Use the word participation instead of empowerment. I love that. Both you and Aisha, you both talked about the conversation between a clinician and a patient. And Aisha, I love the term that you used, which was feeling heard. We need to feel heard by the clinician that is taking care of us, because if we don't, our questions are not going to be answered. And I'm going to end with the thought that, Aisha, I want to echo something that you said, that we are better together, that our goal, when whether we are a physician, nurse practitioner, physician assistant, or patient, is to work with each other in order to achieve the best care possible for the patient, that for us that we're taking care of, and for you as a patient, getting care. So Ben, Aisha, for all of us at the North American Thrombosis Forum, thank you for joining us. This is your host, Dr. Neil Skolnick. Thank you for joining our conversation today on ClotCast, the North American Thrombosis Forum's podcast series. We want to thank Janssen Pharmaceuticals and AstraZeneca for their generous grant support of this podcast, and we invite you to continue the conversation by checking out the resources and events at thrombosis.org. Thanks again, and we look forward to seeing you next time.